All right, we're going to go to Colorado. They're coming in next. They're the hottest team in the National League right now, the Colorado Rockies. Thomas Harding, he writes for MLB.com. Thomas, nice to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
Oh, glad to have you. We're going to see you Monday out here for the home opener. It's going to be pretty exciting. Eddie Butler, tell me about Eddie Butler. He's going for the Rockies.
Yes, Eddie Butler was a supplemental first-round pick back in 2012. Very good fastball, could hit 96 miles an hour. His bread and butter is his sinker. He was called up last year, had a lot of shoulder problems really throughout the time. His shoulder wasn't doing well when they called him up from Double-A, so he only made 3 major league starts last year. He ended up making a debut start in Milwaukee, did reasonably well, but he had had a little bit of shoulder soreness. It turned out not to be serious, so he'd only thrown 28 pitches or 29 pitches over a 2-week span. He goes to Milwaukee, gets 5 1/3 inning, shows some good things, but also some scary things, like 3 walks to begin innings, 1 walk that was followed by a 2-run homer. But he's one of those guys that the Rockies get excited about because they don't sign the talented free agents, the guys with the really live arms. So they have to draft and develop them, and he's one of those guys.
All right, Thomas Harding with us. Butler and Heston, that's going to be Raising the Flag Day here in San Francisco. An amazing day, Thomas. Have you been here for that yet? Have the Rockies been here for that?
No, I haven't. I know it happens every other year, so it had to happen at some point. And it happens in even number years, so we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I guess
it's amazing.
They will wear those special gold jerseys. Now, well, not gold jerseys, but the gold letter. Is it during the game or just during the ceremony?
Well, they wear it. I think they wear that maybe for the ring ceremony, I think. But that's going to be the following Saturday. But for the flag raising, I mean, it's just there's something Las Vegas-ish. There's something amazing that goes on. We had Brian Wilson run it out there in 2011. They came in on a tugboat, a fireboat in 13. And I said they ought to have Bumgarner ride it out there on a horse this year and bring the flag out. But whatever it's going to be, I'll tell you, it is one of the great moments of baseball life to see it. So I'm glad you'll be here to see it. Hey, Rockies.
Forward to it.
Yeah, look, we love seeing you, and the Rockies are off to a good start. Just pitching-wise, let me finish up with this. De La Rosa, I know, goes on a rehab. He's starting his rehab. Will we see him next week against the Giants?
It all depends on what happens today when he throws his bullpen session at Coors Field. He threw 4 innings at AAA Albuquerque, did pretty well, gave up a home run in that park. I guess he might as well do his rehab there since he's going to eventually pitch in Coors Field. But pitched pretty well, used all of his stuff, his breaking ball and his changeup, which are his best pitches. Said his fastball command wasn't great, but it just all depends on how that left groin feels when he throws his bullpen session today. If it's a go, then he will pitch game 2 of the series.
All right, and then we have the lefty Tyler Matzek on Wednesday. And, you know, as I say, the Giants have all these left-handed hitters. As you look through the first couple of weeks of the season, if De La Rosa doesn't pitch on Tuesday, Matzek may be the only lefty they'll see in the first 14 games.
Wow, that is interesting. So the Rockies could end up throwing 2 lefties at them, and they have played well in San Francisco at times. The series certainly is lopsided, but it seems like some of the early season, and last year they ended up sweeping the Giants in June. That seems like 40 years ago, but you know, to throw 2 lefties out there against the kind of hitting in the Giants lineup, I think it gives them a pretty reasonable chance in that series.
Yeah, that June series ended the season for Angel Pagan for all intents and purposes, and also got Romo out of the closer's role. So we remember that one pretty well, and it was the beginning of a couple of bad months for the Giants, let me tell you. Hey, the Rockies are 4-0. Kendrick pitches today, and you got him from the Phillies as a free agent. Tulo's hitting, Cargo's hitting, Arenado's out of sight. Break down the Rockies for me. I know it's the best start since 95, so I know it's exciting for you guys. What does it look like?
Well, it is exciting that they were able to go to Milwaukee and win a road series to open the season. I mean, you know, you're talking about a franchise that twice in 23 years has gone 4-0 out of the gate. That sounds like dadgumming their history with great praise, but with fake praise. But that's where they are right now. For them to go to Milwaukee and just keep very solid hitting approaches, you know, what was it, 16 doubles in 3 games, which is a major league record.
Wow.
For them to do that and also pitch reasonably well in Milwaukee, that says a lot. I think that this is a very deep lineup when it's healthy. You talked about Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez. They are healthy. And it's allowing other guys to emerge. Corey Dickerson hit two home runs up in Milwaukee. And DJ LeMahieu has batted well throughout the season and played his traditional gold glove defense. And, you know, you have Nolan Arenado hitting too. So it's a deep lineup, and we haven't even mentioned Justin Morneau, whose 1,500th hit was a home run yesterday.
Wow, very good. And the bullpen, the Rockies bullpen, always a story. How does it break down at the end of the game?
It's interesting because what they've done, not just at the major league level, but also in the minors, they've built a pretty good cache of power arms to go to. The one guy that isn't the real power arm strikeout guy is the closer, LaTroy Hawkins. He pitches to a lot of contact, did very well last year. He's been pitching forever, so he knows how to get through difficult games. But the rest of the bullpen looks very good. Boone Logan is back from his elbow issues that were a problem last season. Adam Ottavino is really at the top of his game. He could be a closer waiting to happen. He just has to get better against left-handed hitters. And John Axford is there. And I can see a situation where LaTroy Hawkins struggles or gets tired at 42 years old. Axford could become the closer for a period of time. I like what I see out of this bullpen. And if you go back and you look at the history of the Rockies, they've won with offense and a bullpen and also basically competent starting pitching, not great starting pitching. It's not the formula that works in this era, in this pitching-dominated era, but it is what it is.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I think the National League West is terrific, and I've always been a Rocky proponent because at home they're just devastating, especially for the Giants going in there, just chews up the pitching staff. I always figured if they could figure out a way to win on the road, and that usually takes good pitching and good defense to win on the road. And if they could ever figure that out, those are the years they do well. Hey, Thomas, yeah. Looking at the front office, someone said the other day, I think A.J. Preller is the most veteran general manager, I think, in the division right now, and he just came in last year. There's been a change in Colorado as well.
Yes, Jeff Wydich took over for what had morphed into a two-headed GM situation with Dan O'Dowd, who had been here since 2000, and Bill Guyvette, who was a senior vice president of Major League Operations, and he was with the team at all times. And I do believe that two was too many to run a team during the season, especially when you also have a manager trying to make decisions. What I like about what's happened since the end of last season is Jeff Breidich and Walt Weiss are on the same level, and you're starting to see more of Walt Weiss's imprint on this team. Some of the defensive shifting and also using the pitcher batting eighth and some of the decisions that were made, like not going with Jolys Chacín, even though he was a veteran pitcher, just deciding that the shoulder hadn't healed well enough for him to help the team this year. A lot of that is Walt Weiss, very much influenced during his career by Tony La Russa. You can see a lot of that in his decision-making. And I think that he just has a better handle on the roster, a better handle on personnel, and also a general manager that he can go straight to and figure out some things if things get funky.
Boy, interesting. Thomas Harding, great report. Chacín, I'm glad you brought him up. Has anyone picked him up?
Not at this point, and I do expect him to do well at some point. I mean, here's a guy who had a shoulder issue, and he's fought back from it in spring training. It was obvious he was not throwing well, but keep in mind that's from coming back from some damage in the labrum and the rotator cuff that really takes time to rehab since they decided against surgery. I would like to see what happens when a team picks him up, and that was one of the more interesting things about the move. I remember talking to members of the front office and to Walt Weiss. I'm like, this isn't a move you guys usually make because they had to pay him
really?
30 to 45 days of salary to let him go. And a lot of times in the past, I thought they were afraid to make bold moves because they were afraid they might be wrong. When I asked Walt Weiss about it, he's like, listen, we could be wrong, but you can't worry about that. In the history of baseball, there are a whole lot of teams that have made a whole lot of decisions. I mean, for goodness sakes, the Dodgers left Roberto Clemente for the Rule 5 draft. You know, things like that happen, and they're going to have to live with it if Jolys Chacín shows up somewhere else like Jeremy Affeldt has in the Giants bullpen and ends up hurting
him. He was a Rocky. That's very true. He was. Has Walt Weiss accelerated his speed to the mound at all on the pitching changes?
He made one yesterday, but it was during an inning, and there was a double switch. And I think with batting the pitcher eighth on occasion, like he will, those will take some time. I mean, you know, he'll have to go and explain them. The reason why you see a lot of slower changes from the Rockies, especially at home, is that no matter what the score is, you have to manage hard. You can't just make a pitching change just to get a guy off the mound because there's always a chance to come back. So, yeah, yesterday we saw in, what, the fifth inning, a double switch, and we saw one inning later. And you're going to see that a lot at Coors Field, but a lot of that has to do with the nature of the park where leads aren't safe, even the four-run, five-run. I've seen seven-run leads disappear, especially when they're gotten early in a game.
Oh, great. Hey, Thomas, great to have you on. We'll look forward to seeing you Monday, and it's always a pleasure to talk some ball with you.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I can't wait to get out there. I'm sure that I'm hoping that Tony Bennett shows up, Perry shows up. It's not only great baseball, but great musical names in history, man.
I know. We love it. Hey, Thomas, thanks so much. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for having me.
All right.